Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Hey, thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Thursday, July the 8th, 2021, 12 minutes past the hour, and it is an historic occasion here at WWGH Radio on July the 8th, 1941. A legendary person was born. He is a civil rights activist. He is an entertainer, pro wrestler, dynamo, union activist, and the best stick man, and for all of those, all you out there who don't know what that means, best man on the microphone there ever was in the history of professional wrestling and a whole lot of other industries as well. And we were having some fun with that this afternoon, so get ready for new content coming soon. Pay attention. Check out his page on Facebook. He's headed to Waterloo, Iowa as of Saturday for big events, big honors coming up, and then Las Vegas in September. This man is a member of the Hall of Fame. Nobody else I could be talking about except the pioneer himself, 80 years old today, Thunderbolt Patterson. Thunderbolt, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Heaven high, giving God all the praise and all of the glory. Happy birthday to me. Thank you, Scott.
80.
80 years old, yes.
80 years old.
God's been good to me.
Now, when you were growing up, what did 80 mean to you when you were a kid?
Didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about it. Never thought I'd get old. God has kept me. I've come through a lot of things, Scott. I mean, you know part of them. But I'm so thankful that I'm here today, and I'm so thankful I'm here in Marion today. Because I searched the whole world over, Scott. And I couldn't find nobody. Nobody but Jesus, and nobody to treat me right like you. You understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about the airwaves. We're talking about wrestling. We're talking about what people, real fans, love. And that's wrestling. And that's what we used to do for try to make a living.
Absolutely. Angie, last night we had Thunderbolt over. He came over for dinner last night.
Look out,
you'd never met Thunderbolt.
No.
No. So what do you make of having this legendary man over for dinner?
Well, it's a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's a light eater, though.
Well, when you get old and ain't got no teeth. You understand? When you get old and ain't got no teeth, you just can't eat all everything at all times. I sure loved that salad.
Oh,
that
good.
Salad and that dip. You got to make some more before I leave now. Okay.
Okay. Now, what's your favorite food, Thunderbolt?
Well, at this point in time in my life, I eat a lot of turkey, bacon, eggs, and I love fish. Flounder, red snapper, things like that. And then we had to, old folks had to eat a lot of grain and a lot of cereal to regulate right, you know.
We got to keep you regular.
Look out now. Yeah. Yes, you do.
Now, you told me, and I knew this years ago, that you gave up red meat many years ago.
Oh, I stopped eating beef and pork in 1975. Yeah.
Now, what was the reason?
Well, at that time they was talking about pork was bad for you and so forth and so on. Everything they say were bad at one time, but they eating, But for me, it was something that I was just trying to take care of my body a little bit. And, I'm hearing that the pork was bad for you at the time, and I'm just trying to be in good shape.
Now, I don't want to bring this up on the birthday, but now isn't bacon pork?
I eat
turkey bacon.
Oh, turkey bacon. Oh, see, that was my mistake.
Well, no mistake. You just didn't know.
I didn't know. That's okay, right. So I didn't know.
Well,
so you like
we're
turkey bacon.
Know, we'll just,
see, I would have bought regular bacon.
Yeah, well, see, I wouldn't eat it.
No, you wouldn't have
and
that.
But turkey bacon, turkey sausage.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And I like, you know, turkey wings. And you know, I smoke turkey. When I do my boiling, my black-eyed peas and my lima beans, you know. I've used that smoked turkey.
What is your dish that if you're going to have people over for dinner and you want to really entertain them, what do you cook?
I don't have folks over for dinner. I've been by myself so long, you know, I just don't have nobody over by my dinner. But now my interest is health-wise.
Yes.
Health-wise. Had the opportunity to speak and talk a little bit with Patti LaBelle. And she's got a line of real healthy food. One day, we just might ask her to come in and see if she would spend a little time with us and show us that real dish that we've been looking for. Because we're going to do some cookies and some things that are going to blow some folks' mind. But we're going to... Our interest is health.
Now, what do you attribute your longevity to? This is good on me. So many wrestlers.
Jesus. That's it.
But you were a fit guy.
Well, I ain't, I'm not. Hey, I'm just like everybody else. I'm off and on. Love sweets and so forth and eat too much many times. But I owe it all to Jesus because, over the years, I didn't go to the doctor like I was supposed to go. I didn't do different things. Both my hips and all, I couldn't even get them done until I got me a job, a labor card job. So I could get my hips done. Because, we didn't have no insurance or nothing, no retirement or nothing after wrestling there.
Now, it's interesting because one thing people have been asking, they just want me to throw names at you and get your opinion on these people you've worked with. So
Can I be honest?
Oh, be honest.
Can I say the whole thing?
As long as you use the correct words for radio, you can be as honest as you want to be.
So if I don't say nothing, y'all don't understand.
We'll know what happened.
All righty.
Let's start here, and I'm going to go right down the list here. And people are curious. Hulk Hogan.
Well, when I met Hulk Hogan, he was Sterling Golden. And I believe Ole Anderson gave him that name. And other than that, I never met him at all. But my understanding is that he was the man up in New York for years and years. You know, that's all I can say.
Now, I believe you wrestled this gentleman, Ric Flair. Well, the silence is deafening. Do you have any words you can say on radio in regard to Ric Flair? Well, it's that bad. Well, there you go. Let's pick. Well, I know this one's going to be good coming out of that one. My pal, Ox Baker.
Oh, homeboy. That's my homeboy. He's 13 miles from where I live. And when we broke into business just about the same time. Jack Crawford, I think it was his name, but it was a referee. And we trained out at the ref packing Union Hall. You know, I used to fight out there. Well, I'm going to go into all that right now. But Ox was lugging beef at Ralph Packing Company. And he was my homeboy. He's my friend. He's a good man.
You know, as I said, we have a picture of me and Ox over there. I think of him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Old Ox Baker. What a legendary guy he was.
Oh, yes. A gentle giant.
Speaking of giants, Andre the Giant.
Oh, hey, he was a man. What a man. What a man. I mean, what can you say? What can you say? I mean, what could you do with a man like that? I had the opportunity to be his partner several times, and we tore the house down. Like we always know.
Were you ever witness to one of these escapades when he was at a restaurant or a cocktail lounge?
No, you mean, doing a little sipping.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, ma'am, he would take a can of beer and you wouldn't even see it. His hand so big, his fingers was like that. I mean, just big. And I mean, he would he could drink a case of beer in a sitting. You know, I mean, it's just hey.
Has there, you could answer this, one of the few left with us who could. Has there ever been anything like Andre the Giant? Just physically?
Not that I know of.
It was different.
Do you know that Andre trained with Carl Gotch?
No, I didn't know that.
I mean, now Carl Gotch is the baddest thing that ever talked about wrestling, you know what I'm saying? But he trained, he come up on him. And then, you know, Andre's deal was he was gaining weight so fast, you know.
I think when he departed, he was close to 600 pounds or something.
I hadn't seen him for quite a while. You know,
now, this will be an interesting one, and hopefully we get an answer on. I think we will. Dusty Rhodes.
I mean... As, you know, I have nothing at all against Dusty. But I understand. I remember I met Dusty when him who was Outlaw. He was him and Dick Murdoch, and he was same as he is now. I mean, all around, but. There's some things over the years has happened that was hard for me to swallow. Number one was Jim Barnett told me one, called me in the office one day. He said, my boy, Dusty want to come home. Now in Georgia, I draw more money than anybody ever walked through there. You know, boom. And then ever after, well, she buy a house, she's supposed to be on wheels. So, boom, okay. But the American dream, I mean, often imitated, but never duplicated. Everybody has tried to do. When I came on the scene, they had everybody shaking their butt. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, the American dream is a job, a home, a family. And you know, car and equal opportunity, freedom. You know, and I can't dislike Dusty because he made it work what he done.
Roddy Piper. Did you ever have run-ins with Roddy Piper?
I met Roddy Piper one time, and he's a great performer. Great performer. I met him one time at. That was the last thing I was invited to. I think it was.
He was there.
For one of the fat cats and the wannabe. That's Rod Pruitt. Rod Pruitt was running those fesses.
We have an interesting name here, and I don't think this has ever been brought up. And I don't even know if you knew him, Jimmy Snuka.
I never. I met Jimmy Snuka one time. I met, and all these at the same time. One time, Jimmy Snuka, Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, Bruno.
Was that one of these?
Yeah, it is. It's on the list.
One time. See. Bruno and Jimmy.
Billy Graham. Did you ever meet Billy Graham?
I never did get a chance to meet Billy Graham.
Billy's still around. Yeah, he's one of the ones who's hanging in there.
Right. I never did get the opportunity to meet him.
You know, there's a guy, he's Dominic DiNuccio.
Oh,
DiNucci, excuse me.
I met Dominic when I came to Jacobo. You know, I told you about, I have a great anticipation, is that the word, of running that Detroit again. And I met him when I was up there working for one kid that used to work for the Sheik. It's been about just before the pandemic started, I guess it was. And Dominic, yeah, he was a great guy. You, I was in Australia also with him for...
You know, Dominic's still around.
Yes, I know.
He's near 90 years old.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. God bless his heart.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, he's hanging. God takes care of good people.
Now we've got to run, because for people who don't remember, who maybe weren't around in those days, wrestling was very big in this area. Marion, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Toledo, Cleveland, Detroit, Michigan, that whole stretch there. And it was called Big Time Wrestling.
Big Time Wrestling.
The Sheik.
Sheik.
So let's start at the top, and we'll work our way down.
Eddie Forehand.
Tell us about the Sheik, because you worked well.
Man, it's amazing. It's amazing. Sheik was an individual that was about drawing money. Sheik was an individual that bought Detroit from James E. Barnett, paid for his territory one night. Big money in promoting. Big money in promoting. And big money in promoting. So, Sheik was his wife Joyce. Yeah. And we drew a lot of money. The only time that I had the opportunity to go to New York, Sheik took me. Big Jess Ortega. I worked with, wrestled him there. And the only time I got the opportunity to go to Toronto, Canada, Sheik took me.
Now, we did talk about this earlier, and before we move on to some of these other guys in the big-time wrestling era, but he just wasn't a good
paymaster. Yeah, no, he wasn't no paymaster at all.
But you didn't say... Now, you were a headliner. There's the paperwork to show it. Mm-hmm. It's around here. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't have to be exact if you don't want. Maybe you don't remember. It's 1968. But in 1968, what would the Sheik pay if you were on top? Oh, that bad. It would come off that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, are we talking... I'm just curious.
No, I mean, Kobo, you know, $500-$600.
And the Kobo seats how many?
That's a good question.
Thousands?
I mean, Redhead, maybe 16.
And he gave you $500. Well, there you go.
I mean, not only Sheik, but that happened around the country. And big things like that.
Why do you think that's... did they all realize that's a standard $400,
$500? No.
Other people got more.
No. You got to tell me why.
I don't know either.
This whole thing is something that I just can't quite understand, because I drew money, and that was the name of the game. It's all by money.
Bobo Brazil.
Bo Brazil was a gentleman. Me and him, we had a few drinks together.
What was... people got an impression of him. What kind of guy was he? When you went out and had a drink, what kind of guy was he?
The same. He was the same all the time. He never did change. I mean, he was Mr. Brazil.
Yeah.
I mean, he was always... he carried himself in high class.
Let's see here. Chief White Owl.
I didn't know that much about him, but I mean, I seen he was around and all, you know, but I did work with him in time and all, but I didn't associate or had, you know, I didn't know too much.
You know, it's interesting, because on that clipping from 1968, he's listed as one of the... he's not
top
the main
guy.
Event, but he's one of the top guys, Chief White Owl.
Right.
But you never hear much about him. He's gone, of course, he never went anywhere else. And
I don't know. I don't know why. You say he never went nowhere?
Maybe he did, but just didn't hear about it, I guess.
Yeah, that could be so.
Pampiro Firpo.
When I first started, even before I started, I was going to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and doing from Waterloo, and doing my break-in, what they call jobs, you know. And he was... Quite a performer, and I didn't know a whole lot of, because I was just getting into the business, and didn't run into him no more till we got into Detroit, and he was headlining there. So, great guy.
Who am I missing from that Detroit era? Who else would have been at the top of the card besides those guys?
Oh, that was George Steele.
George Steele.
Yeah, Hey George was a wild, wild man. Crybaby Cannon.
Tell us about him. I haven't heard his name in a long time. Crybaby Cannon.
You know, Crybaby Cannon.
Big guy.
Yeah, big guy. He had the Kangaroos, Al and Lou Costello. You know, they were from Australia. I mean, wrestling machines, you know. And the Miller brothers, Danny and Dr. Bill. I mean, it's some real, real heavy wrestlers that came out of college.
Who were, the Sheik had three managers. Who was managing him when you were there? Was it the Grand Wizard?
Grand Wizard. And he had another little guy.
With the glasses. I'm trying to remember what his name was. What was his name? Does anybody remember the Sheik's manager's name? But tell us about the Grand... We'll look that up. Tell us about the Grand Wizard.
The Grand Wizard. Just that name. That's how he... The little glasses. I mean, he was just the Grand Wizard. He was just molded together with Sheik and Joyce. You know, Joyce was his lady, and his ritual.
No, she was his. I don't know if she was. Yeah, I don't know if she was considered a manager, but she came to the ring with him for a while.
Yeah, she was. You know, it was. She was assisting him. His rug, his ritual, whatever he does. Yeah.
What do you make of the guy who's kind of trying to follow in his footsteps, Sabu?
Don't know anything at all about it. Never seen him work.
Never seen him work.
Nothing.
I think he's a nephew or something.
Have no idea.
We're going to find out the Sheik's manager's name here in a second. But I can remember he's a short little guy with glasses.
I can't. Hey, let me ask you, do you remember me having a valet in this area?
I do.
Do anyone out there know his name?
Gosh, I can't remember his name. I can see him.
Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's see if we can find somebody to call in.
Yeah, does anybody remember Thunderbolt's manager's name, valet? Did you call him a manager or a valet?
Valet.
Valet. What's the difference between a manager and a valet?
Well, a manager manage business.
Money.
Da, 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 da. A valet takes the jacket and do what he's done. Da, 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 da.
If anybody knows, give us a buzz or shoot me it on the internet. 740-383-9944. Thunderbolt Patterson's valet when he was in big time wrestling coming here to Marion, Detroit, and all up the kind of Midwest area.
Cincinnati. And, and during that time, boy, do you remember when they closed martial law in Cincinnati? Shut it down?
Were you wrestling when Kent State went on?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, say that again.
Kent State, I guess it was the National Guards. We don't really know. Did they mean to fire or not on the students at Kent State College?
Oh, I don't know nothing about that. What I was talking about is when they had martial law and closed the city down. I was the last car to leave. Get out of here. We had a riot there in Cincinnati.
Why was there a riot?
Bull Curry, myself. I mean, it just... They had a riot.
There's a name.
Bull Curry. Fred Curry.
Flying Fred Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
Flying Fred had a long, long career.
Oh, yeah. He started very young.
He's still around, isn't he?
I think so.
I think he is. Yeah. Pampiro Furpo lived quite a long time. He just recently passed away, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. But he... Now, did you ever have...
Don Kent.
Don Kent. Did you ever have any run-ins with King Curtis?
Yes, sir.
Now, that was an interesting guy.
Well, that's one of the times I won the Florida belt.
Now, what was he like? He was a...
Wild man. Big man. And he done what he did, and he do it very well.
And when you heard his voice, there was no mistaking it with anybody else's voice.
That's right.
A very unique man. What was it about that territory at the time that drew so... It was cold here a lot of the time.
Here in, that even up in Upper Michigan, we were in Flint, Kalamazoo, up north, and then down in Cincinnati and Columbus, Akron, We were in all the big towns, and it was cold, but people came to wrestling.
What was Christmas? We were talking about Christmas earlier. Christmas night was wrestling.
Well, Chris, all over the country. All over the country was the big shows, as they would say, you know. But I just like for people to really, along with the Santa Claus and all that, though, you know, give all that honor to God and whatever, and stop going in this debt for the whole year, fooling these kids that there's, you know, Santa Claus. Be real about something.
Now, when you were coming up, what was Christmas like as a child?
Christmas. It was just Christmas. I mean, we never was hungry. We always got something. Christmas was Christmas. I mean, it was always the big dinner.
Tell me about Haystacks Calhoun. There's one.
The story that, you know, Haystack and Bobo, they used to love to fish. Right? Only time they was on the road and whatever. And they say Stack and Bobo was in a boat or something, in a boat, and it tipped over. And say Stacks went down. They say he come up. To Bobo would say, save my money. He had a wad. He had a wad big as your fist. But he wasn't worried about nothing but the money. But no, Stack was like Andre. He was a attraction, a big man. And, you know, there ain't much you can do with him.
Now, how was he to work with?
Like anybody else. Don't make no difference size. Now, it would be with Andre. With Andre, that would be dim, but a big guy don't make no difference. You can put that sugar on him and put him out quicker than one of them little ones.
we did finally get Sheik's manager here from, I think, Daniel, who's out there listening. Creechman. Creechman.
Right,
Eddie Creechman.
Right. Eddie Creechman, yeah.
Now, what was Eddie Creechman like?
All the Sheik's managers complimented him. I mean, I never heard nothing bad or nothing, you know, controversial, nothing about either one of them, but they all were teed in of doing what Sheik needed to do, and they done it very well.
An interesting thing. Now, you are a minister, preacher.
Yes, sir.
But in the days of wrestling, people said you talked like a preacher, and that's what brought people into the building.
Well, let's go back. You remember we were talking about where I come from? And I have a tape of what they call, it was called Perry something. It wasn't Waterloo. It was so rough side of the town. And that was, I come up and out there in them streets and come up and raised in a juke joint. And a lot of music, a lot of dancing, a lot of drinking. But Mama always had us to go to church. And I loved Christian music. And I loved the preachers of understanding, a captive audience. If you're talking about something that's real and good, you know what I'm saying?
Who was your preacher growing up?
Oh, I had the one Reverend R.S. Rucker, when I left Waterloo, told me, he said, son, whatever you do, take Jesus with you. I didn't understand it at that time. Because at that time, I thought I wanted to preach, but I didn't play with God. And my inspiration from the reason I wanted to preach, C.L. Franklin, Aretha Franklin's daddy, Detroit, the eagle that stirs her nest. I mean, tell the truth. I mean, nature, what an eagle does, what God does. the power understanding.
Do you remember the first time somebody put a microphone in front of your face on television?
No. I can't, no.
It just was there. From the beginning. Well, what do you call what you do? Because you do it differently than anybody else.
Me.
Yeah.
Me. I'm not copying.
No.
Nobody.
But is it a...
I'm real. I am about the realest individual that you'll ever come across.
But where does that, the phrasing, where does that come from?
Treat me like I want you. Treat me the way you want to be treated. Treating folks right.
But charisma. Where did the charisma come from?
God, man. I mean, who else is me?
But were you a charismatic child?
Hey, man. If you want to call it that, I was turned out when I was 6 years old. Understand that?
By your parents?
No. I was turned out by them old ladies in the streets.
Oh,
when
okay.
I was 6 years old.
I got you.
You understand what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
My oldest sister raised me. She took me everywhere she went. Bars. I mean, I had a ball. And, you know, I didn't understand that I was a child. Until I got married when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
You know, I went back to my age.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I would go back and find a elementary school or middle school yearbook or any time from that period, what would Claude Patterson be like?
Well, if you find a book, I have pictures of when I was in grade school. When I was in junior high school, I was I played football, track, wrestled. They kicked me out. Well, I didn't finish ninth grade. And they kicked me out. Told me hope that I have more success with a job than I did in school because I didn't go. You know, my interest wasn't there.
Now, did you have anything when you were growing up that you wanted to be? That, like kids say, I want to be a doctor, want to be a lawyer, want to be a teacher.
No, I wasn't after no nothing. I mean, I was. All I wanted to do was have fun and be myself.
You know, we explored the idea of what went on in your career. By the way, did you ever have a valet anywhere else than big time wrestling?
No. No. Only here.
Only here in this area?
Yeah.
That's something.
The only time that I had a valet, and no one knows the name.
No, we haven't.
Are you ready?
I'm ready for it. Who is the valet?
Hamilton.
Hamilton?
Boy Hamilton.
Boy Hamilton.
He lived in Cincinnati. And he was one of Sheik's, the guy that ran Cincinnati for Sheik. He was he raised him. And the kid, we worked real good. I'll show you a picture.
Now, whatever, do we know what became of him?
Don't know.
Boy Hamilton. Now, in those days, what was it like travel-wise?
Traveling?
Yeah.
Car.
Now,
me and Bobo traveled a little bit together. And other than, let's see, Bobo, I traveled by myself.
Now, how many miles would you put on a car in a given week?
Wow. Oh, man. I never kept track of it, you know what I mean? But worked every night all over the state, back and forth. I tried to go home every night. So that means, you know, driving all night.
You know, we talked about this earlier, and we even had a caller on the early show today who said, now, is wrestling real? And that's the question that people get a lot. Mm-hmm. What's your answer to that?
Well, I mean, hey, Vince McMahon said it's entertainment, didn't he? And it's and he done it for a reason. Anything pertains money, there can be corruption, and it's a work. That is one of the reasons the problems that I have with the wrestling, other than the pay, is that qualified individuals are not mostly put down. Instead of what they call them were shooters, and they didn't want them to mess up their friends or their wannabe who they wanted to put in a position that didn't know nothing about wrestling.
Who was the toughest guy? Just pound for pound, tough guy.
Well, man, there's some of them. I mean, Luther Lindsay, right now, Sheldon Benjamin, Brock, them two bad boys right there, man.
Now, not many people around left who were in the ring with Luthez.
Hey.
This was the beginning of,
hey, man.
What was he like?
Hey, Luthez was the toughest. Luthez was the man. I'm talking about, wrestling. And Ruth, and you know what? Lou would whoop a guy legally. He didn't have to use his fists. He wrestling and that form, just like Dory Funk Jr. did. Lou was the best. That was Lou Thayer's and Bearcat Wright. Them was my idols.
Now, what did, when you were growing up, now you grew up in Iowa.
Waterloo, Iowa.
Were you hearing things from New York at that time?
Well, no. Me and Mama used to watch out of the ring, Chicago. But I can't even remember the name of that arena. But that's when you had the Gorgeous George, the Bearcat Wright, the Prince Pullet, Panther, Bobo Brazil, Hunt Smith. I mean, hey, man. Them was them old characters. Hey, Von Erichs.
The Destroyer.
Now that's another one. That Destroyer. Destroyer went to Japan. I mean, that Destroyer was a wrestling machine. Destroyer, Danny Hodge. Me and, you know, Danny fought, too. And me and Danny fought back in Kobo here. You know, we had matches. You know, Danny could take a pair of pliers and break them.
With his hand, and that's true.
I've seen it.
I mean, I've heard
he'd
that.
He'd take a pair of pliers and break them. I'm not no gimmick pliers, no fixed pliers or whatever. Danny would take a brand new pair of pliers, I didn't care what size they were, and break it. Danny could beat you by just holding on to you.
Was it? He said he could put an apple in his hand and squish it.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's a major feat, even just breaking the apple. You know, everybody can't just take an apple and break it.
No. Now, in the, talk about some of the TV people. Gordon Solie down in Florida.
The best, bar none. The best.
What about Bob Cottle in Atlanta?
Bob Cottle?
You ever deal with Bob Cottle?
I seem like I heard that name, but it don't ring no bell. You know,
he must have just been passing by.
Well, I mean,
I think he was holding the mic for a few interviews. It must not have been that important.
But I thought that name sounded familiar from North Carolina.
Yeah, that's where he would have been.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Gordon Solie, Freddie Miller. Be there. Do you remember that? That's off of
St. Louis.
17.
Well, that was 17.
Channel 17, Atlanta, Georgia. Freddie Miller. Be there after every show. After Gordon Solie was signed out, see you from the sunshine shape, you know, see. Gordon Solie was the best, but Freddie Miller was a ring announcer, and he could
Now, St. Louis is interesting because they call this the Mecca, but you never wrestled in St. Louis.
Can you, I mean, how do you put that to, that don't even sound real to me. I can't figure that one out.
Now,
never been able to go there at all.
Now, that's where wrestling at the Chase was.
That was the NWA headquarters at the Chase Hotel. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, they thought of it prestige.
Oh, yes, yes. Everybody that's somebody been there.
Yeah, yeah. But what do you have an explanation? Did anybody ever give you one?
Well, no one never gave me one, but I figured it out. God just showed me. I mean, I was telling you earlier today, you know, I started in Kansas City, and Pat O'Connor was supposed to be a bad individual, representing New Zealand in the Olympics, so forth and so on. And I was trying to get in. I was working in general tractor work, and I was trying to get into the wrestling. And that's when Gus Kears and Bob Geigel from Iowa, Algona, Iowa, he was a wrestler, came in through there. They was looking for a black guy. I don't know if I ever told you that my cousin, Jim Hoosman, before me, was a wrestler. But he didn't make it because he had, I guess, some problems that they didn't like or whatever. But anyway, Kansas City, Pat O'Connor, I went there to try to break in, unannounced. And Bob Geigel sent me over to the gym. Pat O'Connor and Koufax was at the gym working out. Pat O'Connor said, run, kid. Run, daddy. Do a track upstairs. And I ran. So a few hours later, the door come open. And he said, all right, kid, let's get on that mat. He had a mat in the corner. And so he told me, said, get down. So I got down. Well, I couldn't get out from under, man. I couldn't get out from under. But he couldn't beat. He couldn't turn me over. He couldn't do nothing with me, and that made him. And when he got up, and Steve got down, I mean, you know, I beat him so quick that Pat got mad. I mean, he said, "Let me try that again." But he couldn't do it. No time could he turn me over. You know, and I said, "When we start on our feet, let's start on our feet. I could make that a little bit different." I mean, I didn't care how bad he was. I was pretty good. I was 23 years old, and when I left Waterloo, Scott, I was a man.
Now, I want to let the audience know, we got about 6 minutes left in this broadcast, and Thunderbolt's going to be with us tomorrow morning, from 8 until 1 in the afternoon. But we can't get into this until we get some pictures, but do you want to come over here, Angie, and we'll show Thunderbolt this while we're still on the air? But we're not going to touch it yet, but this is our gift from the radio station. So here you go, Thunderbolt, because it's your birthday, 80th birthday. We had it over here under this towel, so take it over there. Thunderbolt's not going to harm it, but we'll get a picture when we're at break here. But I saw a picture of this earlier, and this is really quite amazing. So hopefully we'll get to take a look at this, and hopefully it's as good as it looks in the memory. All right, let's see this. See your face, Thunderbolt, when we pop this open. Let's see what this is. Holy mackerel, look at that. Isn't that something? Tastes as good as, you know, all out there in radio land, we're going to put this on the internet for you. It's a birthday cake to Thunderbolt, and the great people at L&P Cake Shop did this. It's half chocolate, half vanilla. And it's got two pictures of Thunderbolt on it from his career. What do you make of that, Thunderbolt?
Thank you.
Well, you are welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you. Thank you.
You are welcome.
This is the second time that I've been. Thank you.
They do a good job over there, don't they?
Ooh, well, I never even dreamed. I mean, that's creative. That looks like it's too good to eat.
No, we're not going to tear into that till we get some pictures of it.
Oh, okay.
Then we're going to we'll tear into it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's half chocolate, half vanilla, and we thank the people over at the LMP Cake Shop who did
that. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much.
Now, those pictures, Thunderbolt, about what time in your career are those from?
Early. That built there, boy.
And again, check out our Facebook page. We'll have a picture of the cake on there.
That belt there is... I give that belt to my... Gee. My second wife, son. I get that belt.
That's where that went.
Yeah, I just don't know where, whatever. But that was a real... And that belt represented... Went all over the world. Channel 17. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And this picture here was when I went out to help Ann Gunkel. You know, I mean, the chauvinist pigs took it away from them. We came and we kind of took it over.
Now, when you look at those pictures, what's it make you think of?
The day.
Yeah.
Those days was... I was top of my game at that time. Those days there, man. When those pictures were made, my whole career was just about over.
You were young there.
Man. You know what I mean? That's the part that kept me going. Any records that they had, or anybody that they had at that time, they couldn't touch me. And I could do anything with anyone they had, and they wouldn't let, I was overlooked, just put down, and I drew all the money. I mean, every place I went, I sold it. I don't know anything at all about no little house or no half house. They were all full. And I owe that all to God.
Wanted to say... did you ever meet the... Iron Sheik was the only name we didn't get to.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Sheik, Cosgrove, Missouri.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's one of our announcers' favorite in-town here wrestlers.
Well, I mean, hey.
Tell me about the Iron Sheik.
The Iron Sheik, he didn't... Don't play.
No, he doesn't.
He don't play at all. I mean, I wrestled him many times. He's a wrestler.
He was a genuinely tough guy.
He was a protector of whoever that in his country was, and they had to get him out of there, buddy, because they had killed the other one and all that.
Yeah, he was a bodyguard for the show.
Right. And when he came through Gagne up there in Minneapolis, man. Vern Gagne. I mean, he was out of that group that was ready for whatever that was.
Before we go to break and get some pictures of this cake, I'm going to ask it this way, because we did go through a litany of names there, and we're getting questions on the internet about this. Why did you not say anything when we said the name Ric Flair?
Oldie T. I mean, when you saw Ric Flair, you see, it's the same thing every day.
You're listening to WWTH Radio.
All right, we're going to break.
FM,
stay tuned.
LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
I was late.
Yes.
And as I always am for everything I do. And... anyway, they were waiting for me, and he came up there. He said,